This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Well, tis the season, of course, and while you may be used to hearing the music of, say, the Nutcracker or of Handel's Messiah during this time of year, there's also this.
Oh, tell it on the mountain.
Joining us now to tell us more is Boston Globe arts writer June Wolfe. June, great to see you again.
Oh, great to be here, Meghna.
So, June, this is, of course, Go Tell It on the Mountain from Black Nativity, but tell us more about it.
Oh, that's right. It's Langston Hughes' gospel song play. So it's a retelling of the Christmas story from an Afrocentric perspective, and it features gospel, blues, funk, jazzy music, and dance. And it was originally performed off-Broadway in 1961, and the original title was called Wasn't That a Mighty Day?
And then not long after that, Black Nativity came to Boston, right?
Right. This production was founded in 1970 by its original music director, the late John Andrew Ross, and the late Boston arts pioneer, Elma Lewis. Lewis was the artistic director and founder of the National Center of Afro-American Artists, which calls this production its annual, and I'm quoting, gift from the Boston Black community to all men and women of goodwill from all traditions, end quote.
And what a gift it is.
Right.
So this is actually a hybrid performance, June, right? Because Langston Hughes began with the Gospel of Luke.
So it was that her days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. For there was no room for them in the inn.
And then added his own script, own writing.
That's right.
No room at the inn. No room at the rich, fine hotel. No room. Did y'all hear about it?
What?
A woman named Mary, and they wouldn't let her in the hotel. Ain't that a shame? Did y'all hear? Big, rich, fine place. And no room for a poor woman to have her child. Did you all hear? Ain't that a shame? Shame. Shame.
And Langston Hughes was a very important literary figure during the 1920s, and that period was known as the Harlem Renaissance because of the number of emerging black writers. He wrote poetry for the people, primarily black people, and he often wrote with humor in a black vernacular.
And then, of course, went on to be one of the preeminent poets, American poets of the 20th century,
right.
Regardless of race.
That's right.
Well, June, tell us more about the music that we can actually expect to hear that accompanies the spoken portions.
The songs are a combination of traditional Christmas carols and black spirituals, Joy to the World by Isaac Watts, O Come All Ye Faithful by John Wade, and the spirituals My Way is Cloudy and Mary, What You're Gonna Name That Baby, which is what we're hearing now.
Mary, Mary, what's on the name? That pretty little baby, that pretty little baby, glory be to the newborn king.
I love hearing the voices of those kids. Children have always been a part of this production.
Well, the National Center of Afro-American Artists introduced children into its production. The original cast back in 1961 was made up of professional gospel singers. And they also introduced the choreography to African percussion for Joseph and Mary's Pas de Deux.
Oh, great. So two real Boston innovations
there. That's
right. There. And the kids, they sound pretty young.
Well, the age range of the cast is from a few weeks old. And what part do you think that child plays?
I'm going to guess it's not the Three Kings. But rather the young child that the kings were going to go visit.
That's right, what the story's all about. Raging in age up to some members who are over 70. 60% of the cast is children. And the children who sing in the production are part of Children of Black Persuasion, which is the children's choral group, which was established by the Elma Lewis School of Fine Arts.
And of course, as you said before, Elma Lewis was the founder of the National Center of Afro-American Artists and also the co-creator of the Boston version of Black Nativity.
Exactly.
Hey, we're guided by his star.
So June, not only has Black Nativity been performed every year in Boston for more than 40 years now, but this is a production that actually has some family roots. It runs in a family, right?
Oh, quite a few. Vivian Johnson and Buddy Hughes have performed in all 42 seasons of this production.
Wow.
Several families have two or three generations in the performance. And Von Seal Ross, who's the president, executive producer, and director, has been in the production for 37 years, beginning as a middle school student.
Amazing. So not not only great performances, but a real commitment to keeping it alive and vital.
Absolutely.
Well, so when's the opening night this year?
Well, opening night is tomorrow at 8 o'clock at Northeastern's Blackman Auditorium, and it will run for the next 2 weekends, December 14th through 16th, the 21st and 22nd, with both evening and matinee performances. And tickets are very, very reasonable. They run from $18 to $45.
Well, it's a great annual Boston tradition. This year is the 42nd production of Black Nativity, produced by the National Center of Afro-American Artists. June Wolf, arts reporter for the Boston Globe, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us about what is really a unique performance here in the city.
Oh, my pleasure. Happy holidays.
You can find more information about Black Nativity at our website, radioboston.org.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.